It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Well, again, we heard from the Nashville police there about the incident that occurred this morning, and the president attempted to talk about it, but he couldn't make up his mind as to whether he wanted to talk about chocolate chip cookies or ice cream, and I thought it was incredibly poor taste. I mean, I think people will be talking about this for a long time. This is a situation where children were killed, and the president immediately singles out a group of children, starts giggling, and yeah, it was just, it's inappropriate, very inappropriate. But if you don't know what's going on, if you're late coming to this, a female shooter who is dead, opened fire at a private Catholic grade school. Apparently she went there at one time. This was in Nashville, killing three children, three adults. So I guess earlier when we were hearing seven dead, they were including the 28-year-old female shooter. Unusual that this was a female, but, yeah. Authorities have not released the names and the ages of the children. The individual that did the damage, that created the mayhem, had at least two assault rifles and a handgun. And she appeared to be, you know, loaded, knew what she was doing. You know, had a plan, 28 years old. We have not heard her identity yet, as the chief was saying, when there are individuals at her home. All three of the adults who were fatally shot worked at the school. Three children were killed, too. I'm assuming students. The officers responded to the shooting at the Covenant School in fast order, I guess after what happened in Uvalde. And we heard the chief make a point about, you know, they get there, they go in, that's it. Big time. The officers entered the first story of the school building, and they began to clear it when they heard gunfire on the second level. The officers then moved upstairs. They saw the shooter firing. At that point, they engaged with her. She filed. She was fatally shot by two of the five responding police officers who opened fire. They took her out immediately. The shooter entered the Covenant School through a side door and traversed the building by first moving along the first floor, then up to the second floor, firing multiple shots. You know, and again, this is a private Christian school in Nashville for preschool through sixth grade. This is, and last year, this school put together what has been called a rather innovative active shooter training program. You know, you think about what happened in Uvalde. I was talking about with Michael with this during the break in Texas, how they waited to go into that school before engaging anybody. You heard the chief talk about when they show up at an active, you know, shooting, they go for it. They get in there. They do it. I bet every police chief in the country, you know, is prepared to live and die with those words after what happened in Texas. And we see in all of the print responses from the police department and also from the special agents with the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation who are also involved in the response. They're all saying the same thing. That, you know, they get a report, they get there, and they engage. Period. End of statement. The Governor Bill Lee said he's closely monitoring the tragic situation in the wake of the shooting alongside state law enforcement and highway patrol officers. They just want to make sure that was that and there weren't any accomplices. You know, the First Lady Jill Biden hopefully did a better job than her husband. She acknowledged the school shooting in remarks that she was giving at the National League of Cities conference. And, you know, she said she was truly without words. We wish her husband was without words because he made a real ass out of himself. You know, but I agree with her. She says our children deserve better. You know, we stand with Nashville in prayer. She brought up prayer. Imagine that. And that spokesman that came on right after the police chief was adamant about how we do things in the South. And people may, you know, criticize us, but we pray. That's just how it is. And I'm telling you, that's how it needs to be. We need to pray for our entire country. Now, I think this is time we had this discussion about schools. Schools seem to be the big target for these deranged shooters, be they young, be they old, be they whatever the hell they are. And now, you know, private schools are in the crosshairs. If every school had an armed officer on campus, just one, and the word went out across the land that every school, public and private, had an armed officer on board, do you think this kind of stuff would be curtailed? Do you think there would be a deterrent factor? I think so. I think so. I mean, a lot of these individuals, I'm sure, go into these schools and start firing as a way to commit suicide by cop. But in the process, they want to make sure they take a few out before they go down. And if there's an armed officer at every school, the chances maybe that the shooter gets shot before he even gets one shot off may cross the shooter's mind, and they might refrain, even if they want to commit suicide by cop. They might refrain from going onto that campus. Do you know what I'm trying to say? I think you do. So I think we just have to engage in a national conversation, you know, as to determine whether we want this or not. And I think it needs to be, obviously, we don't want to mandate something like this, although I think it would be a great idea, but I'm just opposed to mandates of this kind. But I think it needs to be left up to every school district, every school board, every state. But I think every state school board and school district needs to get involved in this conversation. And, you know, they're because public schools in the United States of America lean so far to the left, I can see where there would be, you know, an argument by many administrators in many a district about having an armed officer on site. You know how that would just go against, you know, the grain of their core beliefs about guns and all that. But at the same time, when we're talking about the lives of children, I think they need to take a step aside on that crap and get with the program that everybody is officially in danger, because America is very, very sick right now. And until we are cured, I think every single school, public and private, needs an armed officer on the campus. And I think that needs to be made unbelievably loud and clear to the public. You follow me? Because I think it's a possible deterrent. I think it's more than a possible deterrent. I think it is a deterrent. What do you think? Am I wrong or right? I mean, we don't know because we haven't tried it. But I think if the, you know, you don't keep it quiet, what good is it you keep it quiet? You let the world know. We have an armed officer on board. We in our school, we have a small arsenal of weapons under lock and key. And we're trained and ready to move at a moment's notice. Who knows? You might even have teachers on board, coaches on board, individuals working in the kitchen on board who have spent time in the military who could be brought into the mix. We've got to do something to deter these shooters from entering a school campus, private or public. And whatever it is that we do, if it has anything to do with a counteroffensive with weapons and humans behind those weapons, I think we need to make it loud and clear. Your thoughts? Your thought? I'm big on this. 490-5858, 800-776-5858. I'll be right back. This is KMJ. I'm Ray Appleton.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Ray Appleton Podcast.
It's free.
KMJNow.com.
Getting to the phones on this shooting in Nashville, my idea of just, you know, putting an armed guard, putting a police officer, putting somebody there, letting the world know, I got bullets, I got guns, I'll protect these kids. That too radical? Claude, thanks for calling. It's all yours.
Hey, man. How you doing, brother?
Good.
Good.
So, yeah, Ray, I totally agree with you. That's been my thought all along. And I got to tell you, this is not that hard of a thing to do. If you first of all, you got to secure the campus. You got to get bigger fences, taller fences, secure every entrance in and out to the school. And you have to have that presence of an armed officer, guard, veteran, whatever it might be. Now, they're going to say, oh, well, geez, we don't got money for that. Well, hold on a second, Mr. Joe Biden. I got a great idea. Why don't you take all this money that you're going to spend on trying to reimburse or forgive debt on these student loans and curtail that money, and you would have way more than enough money to protect every single student at every single school in the entire country. It's not rocket science.
No, it isn't, because there are so many programs that we can cut that we'd be able to afford this, not only, you know, on a federal level, if there was going to be, you know, a subsidy or whatever you want to call it made available for this specific purpose, or even in state budgets. The same can be said, Claude. Anything else on your end?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. No, I just, you know, and pray. We really, just people really pray. You know, the Lord hears us and he loves those kids as much as we do. And we don't want to see any more of this happening. Unfortunately, it very could well happen again easily. We live in a very evil time right now.
Oh, yeah.
We need to be praying. We really do. And you're right, Ray. And so let's get some money together and let's secure the schools, build some big old fences around them, and arm some guards to protect our kids. Thanks, Guy.
Thank you. It's a shame that we have to do that. But like Claude is indicating there, that, you know, America is very sick right now. And when the patient is sick, you do something about it to effect a cure. And in this particular case, if a cure is making it hard or next to impossible for somebody who's not wanted on a campus to get in on the campus, and if indeed they are on campus and they're not welcome, if they've got weapons and they plan on doing something ugly, making sure that there's somebody there that can take them out, toot, sweet. You know, looking at this kind of with my tongue in my cheek a little bit, I hope you understand, religiously, okay? If somebody wants to go into a schoolyard and do this, fully accepting to be killed, suicide by cop, okay, if they believe in the hereafter and all of that, where do you think that person would be going after shooting some kids, shooting some teachers, whatever, doing whatever they do on a school campus with a gun, and the police show up and take them out? Do you think they're going up there or down there? So, I mean, do people that believe in such things, and I do, pardon me, you know, honestly to want to go down there for doing what it is they do? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, boy, you got to be really sick to be of that mindset. Just saying. Hey, Steve, welcome to KMJ. Go for it. Hi.
Hey, Ray, I've got two ideas. I would suggest a police substation at every school, or a National Guard office.
Oh, okay. I can go along with both. You know, police substation, costly. And I don't know that we would need that many substations, but I would sure like to see, you know, an officer on campus at every school. And if that means hiring more, then so be it. Guard? Not bad. Not bad. What about retired police officers, you know? Making sure that they're, you know, in good shape. They're good to go. They're able to do the job, you know, affected by this and these types. I mean, there are so many ways to go about this. You know, we can go back to arming teachers again if we want to play with that one. But I know that one goes over like a, you know, cow pie in a punch bowl. I would say something else. But there's still that, too. You know, finding those individuals on campus that are qualified and letting them carry. But I still think uniform, guns, letting the world know, making it very, very public that, you know, we have an angel here wearing a uniform and the angel carries a gun. Don't you dare try it, or you'll be joining the angels or the devils. or whichever team you want to play for, like I indicated in my little tongue-in-cheek example. And this is even, this one hurts even more, I think, because it's a private school. These things don't happen at private schools. Yes, they do. And it's a Christian school. You know what I mean? It just preschool through sixth grade, very young children. Three families are without their babies as of today because of this 28-year-old woman who apparently was a student there at one time. You know, what is her problem? Why? I hope something is in her home that, and the police chief was really, you know, underscoring the fact that they were in her home doing an investigation. I hope there's something there that indicates why she did what she did. Not that that's going to bring anybody back. Not that that's going to be a happy ending for anybody. But, you know, answers. Sometimes when you get an answer, it helps affect the question, and the question is then asked, and then you get an answer to it, and sometimes you resolve your problem. It's kind of a, you know, long way to go about it, but it needs to be done. And I still think, you know, even, you know, above and beyond all that, you know, the investigating, that it's mondo important that we have armed individuals on private schools and public schools. And we'll take it from there. And I'll shut up and then we'll get to news and talk about some other things. This one just has me really upset. This doesn't need to happen anymore. You know, I mean, let's take it all the way to the state legislators. You know, in the states that are easing up on the laws, that are getting rid of bail, that are doing everything they can to make, you know, all of this crap happen. Because, you know, they don't have any respect or fear of the law themselves. Let's deal with that, and then let's talk about the campus and how we're going to stick a uniformed individual on there with the weaponry they need to protect these students. That's the conversation that needs to happen. As far as, you know, curing America of its mental illness now, I think, again, that goes with the laws of the land. We're sick because there are many governors, legislators in the state, and even in the Fed on the Democratic side, who are just making it too easy for these things to happen. 490-5858 and 800-776-5858. We got to do something. We just can't sit there and have a president talk about chocolate chip cookies and chocolate chip ice cream and, hey, kids, how are you? Having a good time here? You know, when he's, you know, granted, this was a scheduled appearance by the president at a private organization. Still, the whole point was to bring him on to talk about what happened in Nashville, and he leads off talking about cookies and ice cream, and it was in...
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now, KMJNow.com.
Phone calls on the shooting in Nashville, what we're going to do about it, how we need to protect private schools, public schools, your thoughts. Marty, welcome to KMJ. Go for it. Hi.
Oh, hi. Oh, thanks for having me. Good morning. I think the previous caller hit the nail on the head. I think there's an abundance of National Guard members that would be more than happy to protect our school.
Yeah, like I said, it works for me. I think there, you know, could be some state complications in a number of areas. However, that still works for me. Thank you, Marty. I think ideally, because of the nature of what they do and how they've been trained, peace officers, sheriff, highway patrol, city police would be a better choice just simply because of the one-on-one and the daily stuff that they have to approach rather than be a secondary force, and I don't mean that negatively, a reserve force for war, combat when needed, and disasters, etc. But still, I mean, the right people in a guard capacity can handle it too. Edward, you're on the air. Welcome to KMJ.
Hey, Ray. I'm not sure. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you perfectly.
Thank you. I'm not sure that that's sufficient. Until the federal government de-emphasizes the ownership of guns and places more emphasis on the behavior of the person who's doing the shooting without all the mitigation of, well, they were mentally ill or they were, you know, under the influence or what have you. Until there's a federal law that says you use a gun, there's something bad going to happen to you. I think they're also, as a deterrent, that is, because having people in the line of fire, as it were, is only part of the solution. Mm-hmm. We've got too many people who are way too happy to say, well, we should take guns out of the hands of gun owners. But you and I both know that the gun owners who are responsible don't engage in this behavior.
Absolutely not. You're right. You're right. Okay, so then what would you suggest then?
Well,
I mean, you talked about a change of mind, a change of mindset, but what else?
Well, federal legislation. You mentioned state and local legislation. I think federal legislation that de-emphasizes the fact that people want to own guns responsibly and focuses more on the behaviors of those individuals who engage in irresponsible gun behavior. Take it to the nth degree. If you have to, you use a gun, you get the death penalty thrown at you, regardless.
Yeah, I've thought about that myself. Edward, thank you. I mean, having been involved with three strikes and you're out, into a much smaller degree, you use a gun and you're done. Those laws, which have been really saturated, diluted, de-emphasized, et cetera, et cetera. You wonder whatever precedent that you do lay down via state legislation or federal legislation is not going to be picked off by, liberal and progressive extremists in public service. You know, you just wonder, once you get it right, how long is it going to last? You follow me? I'm just trying to think of a way. What if there were, I don't like federal laws, one size fits all for things like this. However, if there was a federal law that had to do with shootings on school campuses with enhancements, if you did so, and within that legislation, there was a budget, there was an allocation of money from, and I don't mean, finding new tax money to do it. I mean, taking existing programs, blowing them up because we don't need it, and taking that money to make available to the states, enough money to hire peace officers to do the job. And with the federal enhancements, I'm just thinking out of the box here. Maybe that's the way to go. But the governors have to be players in this. Because if the governor gets the money, if there's money available for this, it would be earmarked for this and only this, to hire armed protection for school rooms, for classes, for school yards, for school districts, for schools in themselves. And if that money is not used by that governor of that state for that reason, they don't get the money. They can't take it and use it for something else, which there would be a proclivity of probably half of the nation's governors to do that, to take the money and use it for something else, I don't know, I was trying to think of something silly, put outhouses on the top of mountains or something. You follow me? I mean, it would have to be used for that. Otherwise, they don't get the money. And like I say, I'm just making this up as I go along. And if you want to help me, it's 490-5858, 800-776-5858. This week, Thursday night, 7 o'clock on Valley Public Television, the 100-year history of this remarkable station, Jeff Aiello, who did an unbelievable job. I watched it 5 times in its entirety this weekend. I was sent a copy. And Jeff is going to be joining us tomorrow at noon to talk about everything that went into battling to put this thing together, the research, and the available sources out there, How much, you know, cooperation did he get from the public? Because it's so well done with so many things about this radio station that I was not aware of in its, you know, first 100 years. Wow. And it's a beautiful documentary to look at. I mean, he just really created something that's great for the eye. It's entertaining, and it's full of history, and it's just great, great, great. And Jeff will join us at noon tomorrow to talk about it. You'll see it Thursday night for the very first time, 7 o'clock on public television. It's so good. Back to the phones. Nathan, you're on KMJ. Hi.
Hey, Ray. So I got a couple of solutions. One, I agree with you, if the armed police officer isn't there, why not have metal detectors at every entrance and cameras watching all the gates, and have a dedicated person watching those cameras, maybe two, to make sure kids aren't throwing stuff over the fence and things like that, you know, regular instructors and other aides driving by, you know, just like as they do as normal. And another one is, what if we do this instead to kind of give incentive for the parents to really monitor their kids and monitor their Facebooks and Instagrams and really be more active in their lifestyles so that they could catch that before anything like that happens? One, if someone does do a school shooting, I think the parents get punished with life sentences. That's what I have to say. I gotta go, Ray. Love your stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah, I hope you have a great day.
All right, you too. First, I mean, a lot of schools do have metal detectors as it is. There's nothing to prevent a school from getting a metal detector. All right? But it's these guys that sneak onto the campuses avoiding the metal detectors that get in there and do the damage. You know? Giving the parents a life sentence of a kid who does something like that, constitutional problems up the nose there. That's not going to happen. And as far as, you know, watching the school perimeter, yeah, but you can't get them all. That's why, you know, some are going to be getting through. So, and if indeed they get through, you have to have a greeting for them on the other side that's the right greeting. It's break time at KMJ. More of your phone calls are coming up, please. And we'll continue on News Talk 580 1059 KMJ. This is the Ray Appleton Radio Extravaganza.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Right now,
the Valley's legendary Ray Appleton.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, KMJNow.com.
Once again, to the phones we go. I appreciate you dialing in on this one as we look at another disaster in Nashville, Tennessee, with three children dead, three adults dead, the 28-year-old female shooter dead at this Christian private school, preschool through sixth grade. Sad. Terry. Talk to me. Hi.
Yes. Ray.
Yeah.
Why? I don't understand why I'm not hearing more about mental illness. What? I mean, the guns don't shoot themselves.
What have I been saying through the whole show?
Needs help. Well, now you want to put parents in jail? Well, maybe the parents have been trying to get some mental help for this person, and it's so hard to get mental help. Why aren't we putting more money into our mental help? That's what I have to say. Thank you, Ray.
Well, it'd be nice if you were listening to me, because I've been saying it too. Sorry you missed it. You know, I started off by saying the whole country's mentally ill, you know, and we got to do something about it, but unfortunately we don't have the money for it, you know. Yeah, Terry, I agree. I mean, I've been preaching this mental health thing for years, you know, and I'm not in favor of putting parents in jail. That's why I said forget about that. People, listen, please. Still, you know, yeah, we've got a lot of mentally ill people out there. How do you get involved on a basis that gets them before they do something? I don't know. You know, we've let this go way too far. But in order to have a society that we can live with some reassurances, we've got to kick it in now. You know, we have to have, not only for the homeless, but for others out there that are indicating some kind of problem mentally, we have to have something that allows for putting people in institutions for examinations to keep them safe from themselves, harm to themselves, harm to others. You know, this is something I've been preaching for the homeless forever, you know, because you can build all the hotels you want, retrofit all the hotels you want, build all the homeless encampments you want, have fun doing that, use somebody else's money, please don't use mine, and you're still not going to get them all in there because of mental illness, period, end of statement. That should be addressed first before we start retrofitting all of these hotels, you know, and I know the mayor disagrees with me on this, and he's one of my dearest friends, but, you know, I'm sorry, that just, it doesn't fly for me, you know. What we've got to do is set up some sort of program first to go after anybody who is suspect of harming themselves or harming somebody else, and have a way to go about putting them somewhere that, you know, they can settle out and we can keep, you know, the society safe before we start retrofitting hotels and apartments and all that for the homeless. For others, such as this 28-year-old dead female who shot up, you know, this Christian school, I'm sure she was not homeless. You know, some of these people come from very well-heeled backgrounds. What do we do about them in advance? I'm not sure. But still, we need to capture this disease that's making the country weak in more ways than one and do something about it. Please. Mike, you're next. Hi.
Yeah, just a real quick thing on this. Over the years, the number of people that do these kind of things has been going up, and they've been using antidepressants. The numbers are somewhere around 90% of the shooters are on some kind of antidepressant medication. The more of this drugs that we've been feeding to people, the more of these people are out there taking pot shots at each other. And nobody is looking in on it other than a few people that say, why are all these people on antidepressants and we're not doing anything? If there's a link, it needs to be explored, and they're not doing it.
If there's something to that, I don't disagree. You know, I mean, I would need to know more and see more. Daryl, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Well, there's a mechanism already in place if they were to use it. I retired from Fresno PD for after 35 years, but
bless
I also
you.
Started doing private security, and they have several companies that hire off-duty officers or retired officers, like you were saying, and we stand, you know, armed post for Cal Fire at a base camp, several other businesses. But like you said, you need an immediate response. And with the trained people, it works out. It's already in place. They just have to contact the companies, and they could get them in place. And a lot of guys would be glad to do it for a reduced price even, whatever. They probably wouldn't do it for free, but it's there. It's, like I said, it would be a trained person that would, whether it be an off-duty officer or a retired officer.
Sure, you know. Sure. Daryl, did you say you work for one of these companies?
I do now, currently, yes.
May I ask the name of the company?
Well, actually, there's two of them. One is Cook out of the Bay Area,
uh-huh.
And the other is SIS, Security Industry Specialist. They're big. They're global. They've got over 4,000 to 5,000 employees at
wow.
various things.
All right, that's good to know. All right, thank you, man. I'm up against the clock, and thank you for your 35 years of protecting us. God bless you, sir. So there are big companies. I like this latter one. There's a national company that is ready and good to go with peace officers who are retired or, you know, working on the side. That's the type of thing we need. Break time. Hour number 3 of the Appleton program coming up. Or is it number 2? No, it's number 3. It's just going too fast today. This is KMJ.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.